So good morning, everybody. Can you all hear me well? Yep. Excellent. Sorry, I have different levels here and my son has rigged up a microphone, so I'm slightly, it was much easier just standing at a lectern. So I've been wanting to do a talk on hope for many years now. In fact, it's like 5 years ago, I can remember saying in life group once, oh, I'd really like to do a talk on hope one day. And finally, here we are. It is such a fundamental part of our faith as a Christian to me. And it is not, when you talk about hope, it is not about having a sunny disposition where you're always smiling. And it's not having a positive attitude. And it's not that manufactured, gritted, squeeze till you feel the hope in your heart kind of thing. The hope I'm talking about is an everlasting certainty that will carry into eternity. At the end of October, 24/7, Prayer had their yearly conference, and Hannah Heather did an amazing talk about abnormal hope. And I cannot recommend it highly enough. So if anybody would like to hear it, I can send you the link. But I can remember while she was talking, I was like, don't read that. I'm going to read that. Don't say that. That's in my talk. So I like what I share here. She has shared some of it as well. And I'd like to give her some of the credit too. Let's read together from Romans 4, verse 18 to 21. I'm going to read quite a few scriptures. So if you want to look it up, you're welcome as we go along. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Now, I looked up a definition of hope to make sure that we all understand hope is the same thing. And the definition said to expect with confidence. And I love it when the Bible confirms these things. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Hannah Heather describes it as hope reinterprets our circumstances. Hope sees the circumstances around you say one thing and hope says another. Now, there are many examples of this in the Bible, but Paul chooses Abraham's story in Romans 4. God makes this incredible promise to Abraham and Sarah. They will have descendants as many as the stars. This promise was made at a time when they were both young enough to have children. But Sarah had been barren, and now both have reached old age. They were nearer the grave than to parenthood. Sarah's womb is described as dead and Abraham's body as dead. Who could believe that a nation would come from them, equaling the stars in number and like the sand of the sea? It was indeed contrary to all logic. Yet Abraham, against all hope, in hope believed, and feared not disappointment because he relied on the word of God. Why? Verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Abraham knew all the facts intimately, but hoped against all hope. He received the promise much earlier in his life and probably lived with Sarah month to month in disappointment, for what must have felt like a lifetime of disappointments. And maybe that's why Sarah laughed when a visitor told her that, or foretold that she will hold her baby a year, her son a year from now. The promise must have just bounced off a shell of long-term disappointments. Abraham could have wondered at times if he heard God correctly. He and Sarah even tried to help God out with a plan to have an heir of their own one way or another. He also actually reminded God once of this promise, and God told him to go outside and look at the stars to see how many offspring he will have. And you know what it says there? And Abraham believed God. What an amazing thing. And then nothing happens for a long time. So another definition of hope I read was to cherish a desire with anticipation. And I think, to me, this was the hope that Abraham lived in. He lived with the anticipation of God's promise breaking through into his life. He didn't know when it would be. This now but not yet that we all live in who believe. But what we can know is that God has the power to do what he had promised. So why was Abraham fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised? I want us to look at one of God's characteristics in Hebrews 6, verse 18 and 19. And I'm reading from the Young's Little Translation. That through two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, a strong comfort we may have who did flee for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and entering into that within the veil. The writer here in Hebrews 6, a bit earlier in the chapter, tells about how people, when they make an oath, they do it by the authority or the name of somebody higher than this authority and weight. God, in his grace, when he makes the promise to Abraham, swears by himself. As it says in the Bible, as he could vow by no one greater. Because he is truth and faithful to himself and his word, he cannot lie. God's word is enough, but he makes an oath to Abraham. When something is important to people, they say to somebody, promise me, because they want them to understand how important this is to them. Now, God is truth, and he didn't need to make a promise, but he wanted Abraham to understand the gravity of his promise to Abraham. And this is still the same God today. God has not changed. His character is still the same. His promises are still the same. I was thinking about this and I thought, I want to persuade you, I suppose, to grasp some of the character of God in order to for you to have greater hope. We've been through a tough year last year, and this year to come may become even harder for some people. But I know that God has not changed. He cannot lie. He is truth, and therefore we can fully hope and believe in him and his word. He has set the hope before us. I love that. It's not far away. The hope is before us. It's in our grasp. And it is an anchor, steadfast, sure, not letting us move or drift away. This is the truth. And we can boast in the hope of the glory of God. If we look at Romans 5, this is probably my top favorite five verses in the Bible, but then everybody has theirs. So from verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God throughout through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I said at the start that I believe hope is very important to our Christian faith. I think it's inextricably linked to faith and love. We've been justified through faith, verse 1, and God's love has been poured into our hearts, verse 5. And the verses in between describes a full circle of grace, glory in suffering, perseverance, character, and hope. Why glory in suffering? Because it produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, more hope. It's like an ever-growing spiral of increased hope. And verse 6, hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This verse contains such lavish truths about for those who hope. The Greek translation for love here is agape, meaning love, i.e. affection or benevolence, especially a love feast. This affection is poured out, not measured carefully in little bits. I want you to imagine just for a moment the image of pouring water. Now, I feel quite confident to say that I don't imagine anybody thinking of a little teaspoon going, ooh. See, this is abundance. The writer of the book of Lamentations, I think, got this. And I'm sorry if what I'm going to read make you think, oh dear, because it's so depressing. But actually, it is actually really wonderful. Lamentations 3, verse 17. My soul has been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. Great start. Then I thought, my future is lost, as well as my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my homelessness, the wormwood and the poison. I continually remember them and have become depressed. Yet I will call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him. Now, I can assure you that I am not an advocate for some suffering theology. Absolutely not. But I am an advocate for hope. Early last year, I also felt like my future was lost. I wrote to a friend, and I actually looked it up last night. I wrote to a friend and quoted 2 Corinthians 1 from verse 8. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. And I wrote to him saying that when I read that, that was exactly how I felt about my future. There was really nothing I could do in the face of a pandemic. But I was actually trying to encourage him and myself. And because it does go on in verse 9, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. One thing I noticed about hope is it goes hand in hand with life and restoration. Abram and Sarah have a son, life, from what Romans 4 describes, an already dead body and a dead womb. And then in Romans 5, verse 6, it carries on to say the death. For we For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And that was the dying, and now the life. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus, of course, is our greatest hope. Him dying on the cross and raised from the dead. And now we are living in this hope through his resurrection. We now have life and is restored. That includes the dead, dry, and barren places of our lives as well. Jesus came to give life, and that to the full. Let's look at another reference for hope, and this time in the Old Testament, from Zechariah 9:12, and I'm sure some of you probably know it well. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. If you are ever going to be a prisoner of something, let it be hope. The Holman's translation says, return to a stronghold, you prisoners who have hope. Today, I declare that I will restore double to you. The question, of course, is what do you hope in? Where do you go to be safe and comforted? Where is your stronghold? If it's in anything else but God, I'm sorry to tell you, but you are in trouble. Psalm 146 from verse 3 says, do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit depart, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. And look at the promise to those who hope, double restoration, more of the lavish love of God poured into our lives through the Holy Spirit. I do want to point out, however, that this hope is not a one day in heaven kind of hope, and we just put up on earth while we wait for it kind of thing. No, this is not living in that tomorrow that never comes. This hope is not living today. This is the hope that holds on to God's promises for today, for the situation you are in right now. And to allow his spirit to strengthen your faith, because we are fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised. The second verse I quoted to my friend was Romans 15 verse 13. And here is some more of the lavish love God pours into us. And this is my prayer for you also as we close. And what I've done is I've used a strong concordance and I've written out just sort of additional words. And I'll just read that and then I'll finish with a prayer. May the God of hope, and the hope here is expectation or confidence, fill and it is cram, level up. I love that, cram. May God cram, the God of expectation and confidence, cram your life with every kind, with all joy, calm delight, and peace. Peace by implication, prosperity, as you trust, believe in him, so that you may overflow, superabound, excel. You want to excel at something? Hope in God. Let him let you excel in hope by the power, force, especially miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. For this year of 2021, let's pray together. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.